Hey guys, this is John
and Austin,
and welcome to another episode of the Meatgistics podcast. We are back in the office where we belong.
Yeah.
The short nightmare, thankfully, is over. I hate working from home.
Kind of liked working from home because if I didn't want to talk to you, I could just turn the screen off, turn the speaker off. Now it's a little harder, like when you come in my office, to just tell you, get out.
Do you know how many times I get up, walk around my desk, make it almost to the door, and I go, this could be an email. And I turn back around. It's many times a day.
It probably should be more.
It could be worse than it is all I'm saying.
No, it's not that bad.
All right. So a couple of things. One, we talked about this a little bit on Meatgistics. We did it through a post, but officially on this podcast is how we're going to announce or start the competition. We are going to do whoever gets closest, Price is Right rules, to the count of Meatgistics users by December 31st wins something. We don't know what yet, but something decent, maybe an artisan apron, something like that. So whoever gets closest, we will unveil it around that time. Probably not on that day. Are you going to be back by the end of the year?
I don't know. It depends. So, for those that don't know, you'll have a gap, hopefully not till December, where I won't be on podcasts and live streams for a while because I've got another kid coming. Due date is December 8th. So if we're late at all, probably just won't be back till at least Christmas. If we're early, I'll be back before Christmas. And then we'll see what kind of happens between Christmas and New Year's, because typically that is a just horribly slow, dead week.
Yeah.
That depends upon when the baby comes. I might just be off. Although I say I'll be off. If I'm off, I'll still be working from home.
Sure.
Don't tell my wife, but
she's gonna be taking care of the baby and sleeping most of the time.
While she's having the baby, I'll have a laptop up in the corner, send some emails, and staying up to date on stuff. No, I'm not that bad.
Do you want to repeat the joke you made about what you plan on doing from the delivery room?
I told my wife that we're going to do a Meatgistics live stream, and we're going to live stream the birth of the next Walton child.
We won't do that to you. So for those of you keeping score at home, that is now three children Austin has. He has Leo, me, and whatever this new baby's name is going to be.
It's creepy. Like, you're older than me, so I feel like I should not have you as a son.
How? Well, have your father sign the adoption papers and you won't have to worry about this.
Brother, anymore. Cousin, something else would probably be
sure.
Better.
Okay, uncle. We could do that. No, I'm not that old. All right, so on to meat matters. We've got a bunch of good things to talk about today. First one I want to address is from Meeting Place. It says, food prices take another leap higher, led by meat. So finally, we have some honesty here. Also, some nonsense. It says, in 30 days, food prices have jumped 4.5%. I still think that's low. It is claiming that the total food price increase from 2019, not from 2020, but from 2019, is 8.6%. I think they left out like a 4 or a 5 in front of that.
Yeah.
There's absolutely zero chance that it's 8.6, but I've said that way too many times on this. The interesting thing is meat is up 12.6%. How I read that article is it's up 12.6% in the last 30 days, because that article is talking about it climbing in the last 30 days, and then it doesn't specify what period it's talking about for meat. So I'm assuming it is 12.6 in the last 30 days.
That makes more sense to me.
That makes more sense.
What I've seen. I also kind of wonder, like, is there that big a difference across the country? Are we seeing one thing that Minnesota is seeing something different? Georgia's seeing something different? California's seeing something different? I don't know. But I feel like our prices in overall food stuff have gone up more than that. But if it's the 12.6% in 30 days, that makes a lot more
that
sense.
That does. Yeah. I'm more apt to believe that number. So buy your beef as soon as you can. Put it in your freezer. I did the lay-down freezer in my basement, chest freezer. Got made fun of for calling it a lay-down freezer. Maybe by you, if you know what you're looking at me.
No, I don't think that was me.
I guess it's called different things in different areas of the country. One of those weird things. But here is a paragraph from an article that is clearly a crazy person who I really want to get to talk to. The title of the article is "Man Claims Raw Meat Diet Helped Him Get in Shape." So for 3 straight years, this man has consumed large quantities of raw meat. Around 99% of his diet consists of locally sourced chicken, beef, liver, sheep brains, and more. When he does eat breakfast, it's raw eggs and fruit. So despite warnings about infections or salmonella, the guy claims he's never been sick and is in the best shape of his life, both physically and mentally. So real quick, I can believe the physically and mentally if he had been cooking the meat. Like eating just meat is really good for you. It changes how your body processes different types of food. Like, you know, scurvy would be the thing that you're really concerned about, or one of the things you'd be really concerned about there. But it turns out that your body doesn't need as much vitamin C when you're eating a like sole meat diet. It changes the way your body processes and needs different minerals. The raw thing is just unbelievable there, especially with the sheep's brains.
Yeah, that creeps me out a little bit. I'm glad you put this one on here, because this actually popped up in my news feed, like without, I wasn't even looking for it, anything. And I thought it was just kind of creepy. I don't know. It could be one of those things you just get used to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're used to something, you think it's normal, but I think I'm a long way off from accepting that I'm going to eat raw meat, because I'm a man and I know how to make a fire.
Right.
And I feel like it tastes much better to have a little bit of cooked to it.
Yeah.
Like even steak. Like a steak, you want something on the outside.
You
that's
want that got nice a little crispy. Crust.
Yeah. I just ate steak last night, and I'm reading this and talking about it. I'm thinking about like, what if I just ate that steak raw?
Not as
and
good.
I just, yeah, the texture is going to really get to me.
Yep. Yep. Definitely not as good. I want to talk about the nonsense here that we can't run the air conditioner in here, but Patrick can open the freezer door while we're talking. This is insane.
No one's going to be able to hear that. And in fact, I might even cut it out.
Joke's on me. All right. On to the next one. China imports fall 17% for pork, meaning that they are importing 17% less on foreign pork. This is China. We've been talking about the African swine fever for the last 2 years, decimating their herds, and all of a sudden they have enough cheap pork supply where they have to stop importing it. What if, this is absolutely crazy, what if we can't trust what's coming out of China?
What do you mean?
Like, what if we can't trust their reporting on stuff? Could that be possible?
Oh, I don't think, I mean, at the end of the day, I think all you can really trust is you and yourself. Like, trust, for the most part, what's coming out of like the U.S. and us here, and state by state, you start going to another country and what they're saying. I mean, that's, I don't know. Believe them, don't believe them.
I have a point to that. I actually saw a video. Maybe it was. I hate that we live in such a meme culture, because like you see something for 5 seconds and you forget whether you saw a picture of it or video. But has to go with what you're saying. The current state of the media in more Eastern countries, they actually don't watch the nightly news because they know it's filled with propaganda. So they just don't. And they're like, wow, we're surprised Americans haven't caught on to that yet, because it's been presented to us in such a different way over the past 50 years. So
interesting.
I many times, even when I was growing up and we would learn about like Russia or China, about how they're lied to all the time. Even back then, I would think, what if it's the exact opposite and we're stuck in North Korea, and over there they're really free and our leaders are lying to, like, you know, it's tough to know.
I don't know. I mean,
we're in the Truman Show, as always.
Yeah, is crazy and as messed up you think things could be at times here, I'm pretty sure we still have it better off than 99% of the world. So I still think we should be grateful for where we are. I don't think
they got to him. Yeah. Patrick, they got to them. All right. So another one we've been talking a lot about recently is Beyond Meat. There's an article from NASDAQ.com that the restaurant reopenings are crushing Beyond Meat. So the stock prices are down to about a 16-month low. They're the lowest point since they broke the $100 mark. Both Americans' penchant for eating out and new competitions have hurt the company. Dining out is still 5% below pre-pandemic. But it's pretty good. So they've seen a 14% drop in their second quarter numbers. And a nice thing is that actual beef is on the upswing. Specifically, burgers are up. I swear it said 14%, but I've written 12% down here. So we're going to say 12%. from June of last year. Most importantly, the restaurant chains have cut back on the amount of products that they're offering in fake meat. So it's a multiple thing, probably. They're seeing way more competition. Hormel has a new line called, it was either RZA or Riza. It's R-H-I-Z-A. And it's going to be based from like fungal cells. So it's more of a grown product. I would be not surprised at all to find out that that is the way that we go. I'm a little bit partial to Hormel because I do have a friend who is fairly high in their company. He runs a plant here. I don't know how Hormel's enormous. But that product, the one that's grown from mushrooms, more iron than beef and more protein than eggs.
Interesting.
I mean, that's fairly impressive.
Yeah, I've been keeping my eye out, like when I go through the store or if I get an ad for something like different meat alternative stuff, like what is the protein ratio? Because that's one of the things I've heard over and over and seen is that they don't typically have as much protein as normal meat does, and it can't be actually considered a source of protein at times because it doesn't have enough.
Okay.
But I've been running across more and more things that I look at and I'm like, wow, that actually, that does have a lot of protein in it. It's maybe not quite to the same level as normal meat, but it's not just a couple grams of protein,
right?
20 some grams in a serving, which is not bad.
Yeah. But what they say there is that it's got more iron than beef and more protein than eggs. They obviously are trying to like make that connection in your mind. Like, oh, it's got more protein than beef, but
yeah.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Yeah. But I mean, that's clever marketing for sure.
So I got another story that's kind of related to that. This one, when I saw it in my newsfeed, just kind of, shocked me almost. But also kind of made me excited because I feel like I'm going to be living a life of luxury fairly soon. There was a quote out of Bloomberg from Europe's number one meat processor that said, steaks and beef will become a luxury product that we eat when we want to treat ourselves. So I'm kind of excited because I'm going to be living a life of luxury here because I'm not going to stop eating beef and steak. But it kind of blows my mind that like even the number one meat processor in Europe, yeah, it's not the US, but still they would say something like that because you would think their livelihood is meat and that's what they're going to even try to pump up, even if they don't believe it. I relate it to like college football and all the conference realignment that's gone on. Then you've got, I want to say his name's Mike Oresko, the guy from the AAC. He pumps up his conference so much and makes it sound like they're the best conference mm-hmm. in the land, and they are not at all. But it's his job to hype their conference.
Sure.
So in like you this scenario, say. Isn't this guy is the number one, the number one meat processor in Europe, isn't their job just to hype the meat industry no matter what?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just kind of blows my mind.
I took a deep breath there while you were talking because I want to go rant and down rabbit holes based on that. But yeah, I think there's definitely an effort to push that line of thinking that beef will be for the elites and the rest of us can have it on special occasions, but it's mm-hmm. not something that
isn't that what steak is now. I only ever have steak on special occasions. I don't know if I'm the minority here.
See,
to be honest, I used to rarely eat steak. I eat steak more often now.
Wait, was that a pun? You rarely eat steak.
Oh, that's pretty good.
No pun intended. But I eat more now because my wife needs a lot more protein, a lot more nutrients while she's pregnant. And the one of the best ways for her to get protein and extra stuff is eating steak. I mean, it has everything you need. It has your daily amount of protein if you get a good sized steak.
Yeah.
So we haven't stuck to it, but I tried to, through pregnancy here, do like steak once a week. Just eat something that's, it may not even be truly steak, like it may not be a ribeye every time, but if it's beef and it's a large portion of protein there, I mean, you got,
considering it steak, right?
You get so much protein, so much nutrients from mm-hmm. it, that really helps.
This is what the recent activity on the posts on the podcast section, Meatgistics, will be perfect for this. I need to know how many times a week people are eating steak, because if they expect me to reduce it to one steak a week, I'm burning everything down. Like, no, I eat steak 3 to 4 times a week. Do you know why?
Really? That's shocking. 3 to 4 times a week, you're eating a steak?
Yeah.
That's, I would like to know what the national average is. I have like, but if I'm not eating steak here, I eat like
2 to 3. 2 to 3 is more.
I eat two steaks a year. Now, I'm not saying what I'm saying is average, but I would be curious to see like where.
You eat more than 2 to 3 steaks.
I said besides here.
Besides here.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we need to know how often people are eating steak. Just a general rough, please be closer to mine than anyone else's. No. I realize that I'm on the higher end of that because I know how much of my money I put towards groceries versus like what the average person would do. I talk about it all the time. But I think a huge portion of the reason I eat so many steaks really is meat-gistics. Like, I really do think that is a large portion of the reason that I eat as many steaks. Because before I worked here, I would be way closer to Patrick's, like a steak, if we were having people over and people wanted steak. Right, something like that. But then I started working here. Then we found the Ultimate Steak and Roast Rub. Then we found the Walton's Ultimate Steak and Roast Rub. And I loved that taste. Plus, I feel bad for people who don't like cooking. Like, I absolutely adore the process of taking this raw hunk of meat and making something just absolutely delicious out of it. A couple of weeks ago, we had some friends over. No, I had my family came down. They were in town for one of their daughter's soccer tournaments. And I cooked them all steaks. And I heard my niece whisper something to my sister. And she laughed. She goes, go ahead, tell him. He'll like it. And she goes, she said, I wanted to know why her steaks never taste this good. I was like, yes. Oh my God. Yes. The best thing ever. So she's obviously always invited over to the house. I will cook her a steak every time she comes. But yeah, no, I'm not willing to live any type of life where I'm not allowed to eat whatever I want, whenever I want it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be the guy in the retirement home who has terrible gout and is still just shoving his face with steaks and sausage. So I don't know.
So if you're listening, head over to meatgistics.com, check out the podcast section and look for the post on this episode and let us know how many times a week, a month, a year, whatever, that you eat steak. Do we want to qualify? Does it need to be like a ribeye and a strip or just
steak of any kind? And we will also include roast in that. Like if you're eating a roast, not roast beef that you bought like deli, but like if you're eating a roast,
a large, London broil. A large, substantial portion of beef.
Yep. Okay. Yep, that'll work. Okay, there's real quick in Missoula, they are teaching very young kids about raising, butchering, and selling pigs. I think that's good because I think it helps fight back against the Disneyfication of farm animals. Kids are like, no, a pig, it's so cute. Like my wife, she's wanted a pig her whole life. I'm like, that is a food animal. I look at that and I see food. I don't see like, oh, something I want to raise like a dog. Like I'm willing to have a pig for sure. They're funny. They're actually pretty smart. As long as at some point she understands it's getting slaughtered and it's getting eaten.
They're funny? That's what's the funniest joke you've ever heard a pig say?
I mean, no, they do funny things.
Oh, okay.
They really do.
I do want to say you have found a way to bring that story into like the last 5 podcasts.
Have I really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So next time I do that, someone go, you've told us. We'll just move right on.
I have a way we could put a spin on it. I keep reading. I see videos. Well, I'm a huge Tarantino fan. So at the end of that, Pulp Fiction, Jules is talking about how pig is a filthy animal. Yep. I've heard people, even like I said, the meme culture we live in, not only reference that, but then in their current lives, just hearing people say that pig's a filthy animal, they won't eat it in certain reasons, and even comparing it back to like religious beliefs and stuff like that. So where do you guys stand on that fact of like, obviously you guys are eating bacon and loving pig, but is there a line in the sand when it comes to filth of an animal that you won't? And raccoon. This isn't a random, this is a domesticated animal. Sure. So I wonder if there's something along those lines.
A raccoon, coyote.
Oh.
And people, I know people who have eaten both of them, but I think that's two that I just wouldn't eat. But I mean, other than that,
yeah, in the normal course of life, there's a lot of animals I'm not going to eat just because it does not sound appetizing.
Yeah,
right.
If it came down to I'm survival, hungry, yeah. I will honestly probably eat anything out there.
You guys better watch out if things go real south.
Yeah, it just depends on your circumstances.
Yeah.
I mean, if we lived in a third world country, I'd be eating anything that moved.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
And the reasoning, like part of the reasoning for the whole religious, or not for, part of the reasoning for them not wanting to eat pig was things like trichinosis.
Definitely.
I mean, there are, back then, the cleanliness standards, the cooking standards weren't the same. So you could very easily get sick from eating a pig. So that's part of the reason they would not want to eat it. I mean, it had a reason behind it. It wasn't just like arbitrary, don't eat that. All right. I love this story. It is maybe my favorite one that I've seen in a while. I found it from the Times New Herald. It's in a town, Norristown, Pennsylvania, and it is the meat wheel. So I'm just going to rewrite from this what it is.
Okay.
All right. So with grocery and meat produces, that's not how you would say it. But that's not how you would say it. All right, with grocery and meat increasing and the items of the grocery shelves decreasing, this annual event couldn't come at a better time. The meat wheel will be held Sunday, November 14th, noon at Norristown. All right, so a simple game of chance to win your favorite meats. $2 buys you a ticket for a number on the wheel. You may buy multiple tickets for each round if they are sold out, or if they're not sold out. If your number is the winner, you can choose from three meat prizes. Last round is a $5 bonus ticket. The bonus round, the wheel keeps spinning until all meats are won. Bonus tickets are good for every spin. So basically, they have a big wheel. You buy a number, they spin it, and if it comes up, you get to choose like what cut of meat you want from what's on the table.
It reminds me of a cakewalk. A cakewalk. Yeah. Everyone brings a cake, and then you're not leaving without a cake participating. And then you walk on a different, like it's almost like musical chairs, but with numbers on the ground. And then they stop it. And if you're on the one when they call the number, you get that cake at that time.
Is that where the term cakewalk comes from? It'll be a cakewalk?
Ooh.
Have you never heard that?
Well, okay. I guess easability, because I guess
if you're
everyone,
going to get one.
Yeah, it's like participation.
Awesome.
For sure.
I learned something.
We're learning
today.
Stuff today. We're saying hell in a handbasket. We don't know where that came from. So in the comments below,
let us know
if it's workplace appropriate, please let us know.
Another article from Meeting Place, it says, inflation is going to test the appetite for meat. Foreign demand for U.S. meat is up 3%, and they're expecting to reach record highs this year. So U.S. beef exports are on pace to hit record levels for 2021, with Korea up 17% in volume through July and China up 137 compared to 2020. Per head packer margins remain at historic highs. Now, in August, the choice boxed beef cutout valuation averaged $322 per hundredweight, up 50% from that time the previous year. That's what I've been seeing and saying. Now, they claim with these numbers, they're not passing all that along to us, but they are. That is the best number I've seen in that. 50% increase, that's what I've seen at the store.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I go to some, you know, if I want a really good steak, I'll go to our butcher shop. For the most part, I'm just getting it at the supermarket. So it's not, but yeah. So I was very happy to see that. That was another article from Meeting Place. Good story from Tyson. They handed out 36,000 pounds of bacon, sausage, and chicken. At that event, they were also handing out job applications. I thought that was a really cool way to try to get people into their industry. Like, hey, we made these. Like, you can be part of making something that will feed people. You could have pride in knowing that the product that you're putting out is feeding people's bellies. Because one thing none of us can live without is some form of food, protein source, something like that. And being in that industry is, in my opinion, at least a somewhat noble profession. Are there unglamorous jobs in the food chain? Of course, but tons of jobs aren't glamorous.
Yeah, so on that Tyson story, they were looking to fill like 70 to 90 positions, and they had a sign-on bonus of $3,000. I'm tempted to go apply for a job just to get $3,000 out of it. That's crazy. For an entry-level position to have $3,000 per employee signing bonus in not quite 100, but almost 100 different positions. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, that shows that they're struggling to find workers right now.
Oh, 4.8 million people walked away from their jobs. Yeah. 4.8 million people just resigned. They weren't quit. They weren't forced out. They're just like, nope, I don't want to work here anymore.
But there's a labor shortage. What are you talking about?
I don't know how specific I can get about this, so I'll be fairly vague with it. A town near where I grew up is paying their police $5,000 as a stay-on bonus. Don't quit, and we'll pay you $5,000. $5,000 to keep their job.
That's crazy. It's getting hard to find people out there. I am hiring at least two positions, always hiring in other areas too, but at least two positions right now, in my departments, and we're still looking. We've been looking for a while.
Nope.
It's difficult. Sometimes the people we get, the qualifications are not the greatest.
Right.
The number of applicants are not what we're used to seeing. Shortage of labor out there in the market.
I remember when I was looking for two positions, we had our job rec out, and Dylan looked at it at some point, and he's like, "Ooh, it's like you've only gotten X number of applicants or whatever." And then a couple months later, he was looking for more salesmen. He was complaining about not getting the number of job applications that he's used to.
But what's happening? Sorry to interrupt, but it seems like if people walked away from their jobs, and we know that there's an on record available jobs, I just don't know why these two don't just come together and work. I mean, of course, people want a different type of job where it's more satisfactory to their everyday life, and I think everyone's about that. But at the same time, it's just like you got to get in where you can fit in. I think
there's two things I hope that are going on. One is I hope people are simplifying their lives and realizing that they don't need the big fancy car, they don't need all this luxury in their life, and so they're just downsizing. Another thing I hope is happening is I hope a lot of families are going to a one-income family, and someone can be home with the kids more. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. We talked about a couple months ago, California has the Prop 12, where an animal has to be allowed to live, I think, a quarter or maybe a half of its natural life. Had all the other weird things in it. Massachusetts had a very similar law. They have voted to delay that to allow producers time to catch up to those regulations. So that is a good thing.
That's good.
Yeah.
I did want to point out, I was super bummed out that I wasn't there for the podcast. You finally mentioned Super Size Me 2. I've been trying to get you to watch for literally months.
Did you say that in the comments, or did you say that to me? I think you said it in the comments.
Yeah, because I was I was like, dude, this has a thorn in my side.
He knew Morgan Spurlock. He's like, duh.
Well, not only that, but like what Big Chicken's doing and like kind of what you're hitting on as far as like has to spend X amount of its time outdoors.
Yep.
I bet you the verbiage is like the availability to be able to go outdoors. So right. It's just a bunch of weird stuff. I know you guys would, if you haven't seen it, it's dynamite.
All right, go on to yours.
So I feel like I have.
I want to not talk about your first one.
Okay, I'll talk about the last one first. So this one, we kind of hit on a topic similar to this, but when I ran across this, I thought I would just mention it again. If anybody out there is hunting and you've got extra wild game, one thing you can always do with it is donate to your local food bank. Not every local food bank will probably take it, but if you've got extra wild game meat that you don't know what you're going to do with, I'd love to see you guys make more sausage and buy more stuff from us, but don't let things go to waste. If you've got extra wild game, call up your local food bank and see if they'll accept donations there. The story I read was about, I think, New Hampshire and the specific food bank up there. They get thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds of meat every year.
Why were you reading about New Hampshire?
I don't know. Just popped up in my newsfeed.
Okay. I'm a big fan of New Hampshire.
Oh.
It's an absolutely gorgeous state, like so pretty. Their state motto, as we've talked about, is live free or die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe you were looking to relocate Walton's.
No.
Because I would go with you.
No, not now. We could have different warehouses someday, but I don't think we'd ever relocate the main.
Say we did create another warehouse. I mean, New Hampshire would not be a place. I assume you'd want to have them like strategically located. Wegmans, which is a really well respected grocery store in the upstate. Okay, have you heard of them?
Yep.
Okay. So they've expanded massively, but their rule is they will not open a store that they can't get a truck to within 24 hours, which is a great like way to build out.
Yeah.
Do you have an idea on where you would put an extra warehouse?
Oh, I mean, to be honest, for having one warehouse, we have a pretty good location in the center of
for
the country.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Our distribution from here is really good. We hit almost every far-reaching corner of the country within 3 days of ship time.
Yep.
So if we were to have extra warehouses, you got to put them in a spot where you're going to reduce your ship times, try to get down to 1 day on everything if you can. To do that, you're going to have to hit major hubs. You're going to be looking somewhere maybe in like
Virginia,
Nashville or Memphis.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
I like where this further is out. I like where this is going.
The Titans.
Okay, no.
Wait, definitely not. Yeah.
Well, hold on. Your sister took a job, right? That, you know, it's a media hub. Maybe we just move the media department there, right?
I don't want to go there. Too many country music fans.
No, we're gonna bring the rock to it, man.
It's a music city in general. Yes, a lot of country music, but it's like Nashville's just music.
Have you ever heard of me going to a concert or anything? I do not like loud venues.
They don't just blare music everywhere you go.
Yeah.
It's not like there's loudspeakers on every corner.
If you do try to move us, don't use music as a selling point. Yeah.
I don't know. If you go west, I would hate to move to like California or something. So you're probably looking at like a Salt Lake City or somewhere where you could still reach the coast quickly, but then cover a lot of the central west, I don't know the mountain areas better. We'd probably pick one place east, one place west, and then from there you would just expand further to a corner. You could get closer up into the northeast. You could go up in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know where you'd go in Pennsylvania. Hopefully we don't have a lot of people from Pennsylvania. I'm just not a big fan of Pennsylvania.
Why? Pennsylvania's a great state.
Where would you go? I want to go to
Philadelphia. I wouldn't want to go to Pittsburgh or Philadelphia. But
Hershey's.
Yeah, you've got Allentown. You've got Hershey. Hershey's is actually a really cool city.
I've been to Hershey. Yeah, it is.
You've got Norristown, which does the meat wheel every year.
Okay. We're opening up a location in Pennsylvania.
And Pennsylvania is really pretty state. The vast majority of it covered by woods. The vast majority of it.
I just, from like a logistics standpoint, I don't know what's there besides a couple of the big cities that I know I don't want to be in. I could survive being in like a Nashville or Memphis.
Yeah.
But I would not survive if I had to live in Philadelphia.
We went down to visit friends in Philadelphia once. We met on vacation. We went to like the touristy spots, but both my wife and I were very impressed with Philadelphia. That was 10 years ago. I know a lot has changed, but like just from like the bones of the city, it's a good city.
Okay.
So just something to think about. Now, eventually we are going to have same day delivery through drones to every house in America, right?
Yeah. We've been secretly investing in a startup that does
much fun.
No, we have not.
We should be. And I really was just joking with not wanting to talk about your first one.
Okay. So my first one, I just thought this would be kind of a brainstorming session.
Sure.
Almost. But came across an article where this meat processor in Wisconsin was making a Spooktoberfest bratwurst, which I don't really understand how this makes it a Spooktoberfest brat.
Candy corn.
Because all they put was candy corn in it. I don't see how that's spooky.
Have you ever seen candy corn outside of the Halloween season?
Yeah. I mean, cause I buy candy corn and then it sits there for 6 months and I eat it 6 months later. So yeah, I guess that makes sense. I don't know. I would expect it to be like pumpkins, gummy bear pumpkins or something.
They
make it a little more spooky. Ghosts.
It's going to melt in there anyways, right?
Probably.
Oh, we're going to have to buy some gummy bears and see, or not gummy bears, sorry. Candy corn and see what temperature they melt at.
Yeah.
I'm not sure this is accurate or not, but I whispered while you were saying it's always in Wisconsin, because I'm pretty sure the gummy bear brat was from somebody in Wisconsin too. Wonder if it's the same person who kind of made them popular. That brat was god awful. I mean, bad. We luckily had somebody in the warehouse who really liked them, or I would have thrown them out. I mean, they were, in my opinion, close to inedible.
No, I disagree. You don't understand what inedible is.
Fair enough.
Your tender jerky with soy in it is.
Oh my God.
That is inedible.
Do you understand how many people have responded saying best jerky I've ever had?
They're just trying to inflate your ego and make you feel good.
Well, I like them for that. Thank you.
It just depends on people's preference. It is good jerky from the sense of it being jerky. I just have a massive like hatred towards anything soy, teriyaki flavor. And that's all I got out of it was just soy and teriyaki flavor that I can't stand.
So we did do a test of we did some stuff with the Dragon's Breath, the new kippered beef. We did a how to make actual kippered beef. That video should be coming out. I don't know. Did we finish that? Yes. Yes, we did. We finished it. We recorded it. Okay. And then we did a tender jerky with the kippered beef with both soy and with soy sauce and without, and doing some stuff with that. There is a clear difference in taste. I'll give you that. I just don't necessarily dislike it. It's just different.
Yeah.
I don't think one's necessarily better or worse than the other. I will say this. There is a chance that the jerky we start sending out after we're through this batch we have, which is a lot, might be Dragon's Breath tender jerky because that worked really well.
Yeah.
I thought at least.
So long story short on this whole thing, my idea is just like, what else can you do to be creative? I mean, this guy, he's obviously a meat processor, not just an individual. So some of this may change on if you're listening and you're a meat processor or if you're a retail guy at home, but like, what can you do to literally spice up your bratwurst? John was talking about gummy bears. We've done gummy bears here. This guy's doing candy corn. You can get real creative and throw stuff in there. So my question to kind of everybody listening is if you could make some weird bratwurst, what would you put in it that you think would actually be good? Like don't throw out something that obviously no one in their right mind would ever eat. Else could you do?
We've got a couple of things. Don't look at that screen. One, my caffeine pills arrived today or yesterday. So we are going to make a true breakfast, some sort of energy based, try and make it like lots of protein, probably do it out of beef, and we're going to add caffeine to it. So, because any excuse I can use to try to get more caffeine in my diet.
Chemically, will that affect the meat? I wouldn't think so.
I have no idea.
I'm petrified of like, because we have to empty each thing. Yeah. So then I'm worried. What if you get a pocket of it, so to speak?
We'll move it. We'll dissolve it in the water that we'll add. Normally, we wouldn't add water with a breakfast sausage, but we'll add some water.
And then you just
get
like one bite's the equivalent to three cups of coffee, and then a couple of links don't have any.
The hard part is going to be the math, trying to figure out like, how are we going to get 200 milligrams in each serving? That's going to be the hard part. And then remembering if I like them, don't eat a lot of these. When I was in customer service, I almost had to go home sick because I found like a, remember the Mio?
Yeah. I have Mio sitting on my desk. Yeah.
So
I
love that stuff. One that's like energy.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't paying any attention to that. So I had like an entire one of those things in a morning. And it's the vitamin B or something in it, jacked with my system. So I was like sweating and then freezing. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. Another one I've been talking about doing for a long time is some form of wasabi. So I'm going to order some wasabi powder and we'll play around with that. Because I love the taste of wasabi. From Aldi's, I get these wasabi almonds. They're absolutely.
I'm trying to think like what else I would put in it. And my mind just like gravitates straight to chocolate, but I can't do chocolate because it's just going to melt everywhere.
Well, so we've kind of talked about this in the past, but the chocolate chili brat from Excalibur, which is a good brat. Mm-hmm. We don't sell a lot of it, but it's a good brat. And then there's the Moulet sauce, or it's some like Mexican chocolate type thing. We could try doing some stuff with that. I don't think they have high temp chocolate though.
No, probably not.
Plus, if you're biting into a brat and you get like a chunk of like hard chocolate, that's gonna feel weird. So I don't know how, but we could I'm down to try that. They make like Nestle's Quick Powder.
Ooh, that, yeah, that'd be good. The part of the experience there though is like having a chunk of something in there, like with the candy corn. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a chunk of candy corn. It's going to look weird. Bam. Gummy bears, I mean, stuff like that. Oh. It's a large chunk of something.
I wonder if they're missing the boat on some more, like if it's a Spooktober and all he's doing is adding the one ingredient, like if we were forced to make a Spooktober brat, what would we try to add to that?
It's a fair point. Candy corn's a hard one to go against. Crackles. I always love the crackles. What else?
Ooh, how about make like a sour brat?
I was just going to say sour. That would be
really good.
Well, we tried gummy bears and it was awful. It's hard to.
Terrible.
The sour is going to be an issue though, because that's going to denature the proteins. That's why encapsulated citric acid is encapsulated. Mm-hmm.
Just put that
one. You put something in there with acid and it's going to screw up the meat.
So is it going to be as bad if it's a fresh brat? Not as bad
because you're not expecting it to have that cured texture and that bind, but it's still it would end up more like more like chorizo, like chorizo
to make it loose.
You add vinegar to it, and that helps keep it loose and crumbly and stuff. So it's going to be a kind of a weird texture, but
we've
done a Frankenbrat, right, where it was just a bunch of different seasonings.
That was a bunch of different. Yeah, we took the leftover. We had like 10. Different seasonings.
Yeah, I think we did like 10.
And we did a 10-pound batch and we had enough of each one for 1 pound.
It was pretty gross, I think.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Overly salty for sure, but
I think it's interesting. But I like lots of flavor and lots of salt.
Lots of salt. Absolutely for sure. All right, you had one more story?
No, we talked about everything else.
Oh, that's right. We jumped to that earlier. As we were sitting here talking, there was something that popped in my mind where I said, oh, we have to remember to talk about that. But of course I cannot remember it. Something going on here. What is going on at Walton's? We're getting ready for our holiday videos. We have what I think are two fun/funny styles for both videos. So those will be coming out. We are going to have our Thanks Black Monday live stream, which you won't be a part of. Probably won't be here.
No, I'm.
Oh, are you
here? There's a good chance I'll be here for Thanks Black Monday. There's almost no doubt in my mind I will not be here for the 12, 13, 17, 10 days of Christmas, whatever we're doing.
Yep, okay.
That one, my dad, Brett, our CEO, he volunteered. So as long as you're willing to take him up on his offer.
Anytime your father wants to come in here, more than welcome to.
Which, speaking of him, we need to nail him and Kurt down and get them on our podcast.
Well, we just need to get them in here. We'll hit record and we'll leave.
Oh yeah. We don't have to sit in here through it. Just let them talk. That might make some extra editing for Patrick, but it'd be worth it.
We could do a setup and be like, and now here's two of the most knowledgeable guys we know. And then
I'm sure they're just going to trade stories from back in the day.
They might have to do a couple podcasts or maybe just set them in here for 2-3 hours and then break it up into two.
Oh. Definitely. Yeah.
Well, not even that. We make it an ongoing segment for a couple of podcasts in a row.
Yeah. But those two guys, one, they are very knowledgeable. But two, they have so many crazy stories.
Yep.
I mean, they've been in the meat industry for 30 years and have been in literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of meat processors across the country. And they've seen it all.
Yep.
From little tiny itty bitty small guys up to large meat plants, and when they get going, they have a good time and share some crazy things, some things that they will have to change the names on. They already talked about that. They're like, yeah, we're gonna have to change names, and that's gonna screw them up. So we'll see how it goes. But there's some stuff that you probably wouldn't want people to know.
They'll
bleep out. We have the power of editing.
There you go.
Beep, yeah.
We can say just
so they can watch it first.
call it what you want. Like say the actual name and we'll just edit it out.
Yeah.
Okay. So real quick, the sales we have coming up are pre-Thanksgiving sale. That's going to be going from the 15th to the 19th. We have that. So the 19th is you order something, you're going to have it by Thanksgiving. That's why we cut it off there. The next sale that comes right on the heels of that is Thanks Black Monday. That is the 22nd to the 29th. That is a sale that is split into three parts. Each part, once an item has gone on sale, it will be on sale for the rest of the sale, but it's three different parts. So the first one's from 22nd to the 29th. Those items will be on sale the entire time. The next one from the 26th to the 29th, and the last one are good on Cyber Monday only. Then we're going to have our Christmas sale. That is the 13 days of Christmas. Each day, one or more items will go on sale. I believe we don't have a single day this year with just one item. All of those will be the same thing. Once they go on sale, they're on sale to the end. All of these sales this year, every single one of them is going to be while supplies last. So if you're trying to wait until the last day of the sale to reap all the benefits plus get whatever that item is that's on the last day of sale, you might want to rethink that strategy. While we, in my opinion, have done the best possible job on bringing in inventory, we're once again in unprecedented territory here with how hard it is to get containers here. So yeah.
Brett and I were actually talking about this earlier today, and that like our Walton's branded items, we feel really strongly that we're going to be fine on inventory on them. We projected a lot more. We have things coming, we think, in plenty of time, but we're going to come across random other things. Today, it was gooseneck twine holders. can't get gooseneck twine holders. We're going to be out of gooseneck twine holders probably through the end of the year. Tomorrow, it's going to be something else. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of these oddball things that people want.
Encapsulated citric acid was tough.
Yeah, encapsulated citric acid, I haven't got an update on that. I don't know where we're at, but that one, there's a good chance we're going to have some issues there. Jalapeno flakes is a major issue right now.
Major issue.
We have already pretty much cut off selling jalapeno flakes. Yep. I don't even know that we have an ETA on when we're getting more. But there's going to be some oddball stuff here and there that just, it's going to be hard to get and might be months before it comes back.
We're good on it again.
Yeah, well, we probably sell that much in like a week or two.
Oh, okay.
Because you get a custom deer processor that they do thousands of deer, and they're gonna come order hundreds of
right. Of and bags. That's not 835 bags. That's 835 pounds.
I don't know.
It's pound.
Yeah. If it ends in a five, it's most likely that it's
yep. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's it. That's all I have. Do you have anything else?
Nope. That's all I got.
Okay. All right. Thanks for watching, guys. If you made it this far, we appreciate you hanging with us. Make sure you go over to Meat Gistics, find the podcast post, tell us how many steaks a week, or if you're not eating a steak a week, how many steaks a month you eat, and leave any suggestions you have for like a creative brat. Already in my head is the caffeine one for sure, and the wasabi powder one for sure.
Sounds good. See you guys next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for checking out the Meat Gistics podcast. To shop everything but the meat, head on over to waltonsinc.com. And to get your meat processing questions answered by experts and enthusiasts alike, head on over to our online community at meatgistics.com. Walton's, everything but the meat.